Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Love is a kiss. Love is a race.
During the August 2024 primary, D1 rallied around a somewhat unknown candidate. In an absolute surprise to the entire local establishment, Steve Stroberger soundly routed the developer-sponsored two-term incumbent, Jeff Pragosh. This was not an accident. We're asking you once again to consider the requests and pleas of an entire community. Beulah has never demanded there be either or no residential, no light industrial, or no retail development on OLF 8. Time and again, over many years, our community has participated in seminars, meetings, charrettes, surveys, town halls, etc., and voiced our desire for a livable, walkable town center atmosphere that we have been deprived of as we watch our area being overbuilt, overdeveloped, and crushed by the weight of thousands of new citizens and little infrastructure improvement to support that influx. I humbly ask that during tonight's discussions, this board take heed of the mandate given to our commissioner and show due deference to him and to his district as he tries to represent his constituency. I've heard many of you ask the same of others.
So you had John Moore at the Escambia County Commission meeting talking about OLF 8, the big development project over west of Navy Federal on 9 Mile Road, and basically telling the county commissioners, hey, this is in District 1. Defer to my county commissioner who got elected on this issue. That's Steve Stroberger, who said,
I think you know how I feel. I think you know I've done my due diligence on this. Citizens trust me, and I'm asking my colleagues to trust me too on this.
So if you haven't kept up on the latest of the, I don't know, Mexican soap opera that is OLF-8, the what I call the imaginary flying polka-dotted unicorn of economic development. We'll see if it ever lands or exists. I mean, it's there right now. Oh, surrounded by a fence, so you can't go play on it. Just another. No, no, we can't have the citizens just using this green space. How many times? You've been on the show for what, like a year, year and a half?
Almost a year, man.
How many times have you heard me just somehow or other just say, can we not just open it up so the public can use the park?
Several times.
Many, many times. David, can I go? Let me go in the newsroom real quick. Just get a confirmation. David, you've been with me, what, 5 years on the morning show?
Somewhere around
four
there,
or 5 years. Yeah. How many times have you heard me just in passing about OLF-8 that has been an undeveloped plot of land for as long as you have been working at this station?
Right. You know,
how many times have you heard me just in passing something along the lines of, can we just take down the fence and let people play there?
Probably twice a month for the last 3 years.
Yeah,
at least.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. I didn't mean to make this the show about chain link fences, but here we are, you know? Nobody's... Oh, I shouldn't say. It's just flipping. Let's just say it this way. It'd be okay. It would be okay if you let people walk their horses and ride their ATVs and launch their model rockets and fly their planes and play Frisbee. I mean, just make it a park. You know, the big park to the west of the other park that they just built. Anyway, back to the discussion about OLF 8. Now I'm calling it that because my boss says, make it Olaf, make it a character, you know, not OLF, Olaf. It's, again, Olaf, the imaginary flying polka-dotted unicorn. Okay, so the question about who's going to get it, the hokey-pokey of who's in and who's out stands here. Ryan Bell is out. Okay, the ins, or the back ins, the returning after having stormed out, is you've got the Beulah Town Center folks, that's Fred Hammer, and Metro Development. They're a huge national development company. And then you also have Chad Henderson and the Tri-W Group with Ashton Hayward on board with them. Brian Spencer's with the other ones with Beulah Town Center. And they're both back in. Okay, each one had their storm out. Each one had been mistreated one way or another. But you have two in who are really serious and both of whom are certainly capable, competent, seem to have money and are devoted to this and really want to give a go at it. So the question is, well, you know, what do we do exactly? So Steve Stroberger says,
I'm ready to make a motion. I'm going to make a motion right now. I move that we have the county staff evaluate both PSAs from both Tri-W and Beulah Town Center, and that we take both offers side. That means taking both offers side by side and give this board some feedback.
Which seems like a very reasonable approach. We've got two who have made offers. Let's go. You know, give us the side-by-side, offer them back red lines. That's the kind of like amended version what we need to have on our side of the line. That's always very normal in these kind of situations. Let's work with both of them and let's get somewhere.
Additionally, I think that we should have purchasing assess the developing partners, because I think they're starkly different. One does really good strip malls. The other one has been doing grand planned communities for a very, very long time. And I think that once they do that, once they take a look at that, they're going to see the difference between the two and which one we should have. The difference, I'm telling you, it's significant. There's a significant difference between both of these developers.
I don't think summarizing Chad's experience into strip malls is an appropriate summarization of his experience.
Yeah, and Steve, that's not, I mean, staff's not going to make this decision for us. This is going to be us. And
they're not going to make the decision. They're just going to give us some feedback. That's all they're
going
to do.
I don't think they're equipped to give that feedback. Ooh. It's simply going to come down to us making a decision.
The planning department's not equipped to tell us, you know, A, B, C, how capable the development partners like Metro are. Okay. And the objection that Ashley Hoffberger was raising there was it was a little condescending to say that it might be accurate, but a little condescending to say that the Chad Henderson Tri-W Group is really good at building strip malls, and Metro, the Beulah Town Center folks, which is who Steve Strohberger favors, that's the Fred Hemmer Group. I know I keep reminding you of these names because it's hard to track all of this stuff, but, you know, he likes them a lot. And again, I think both would be good. It's a question of who's going to be best. And you always have the question of the price tag and how many jobs and how will you structure the ability to make the jobs and having homes and having, you know, community center type facilities and amenities on the project. It's a complicated conversation. It's mostly just a reminder of why government really shouldn't be in the development business, but that is, I think, by now a well-established conclusion. John Pickens has got traffic on the files. We'll tell you what they did in just a second.
Still no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are flowing smoothly, actually, but if you're on Highway 29 headed southbound toward 9 Mile, you're going to see some minor delays. And also, 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, we're starting to see some major slowdowns there. That's about a 10 to 15-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you have any kind of complicated repairs inside your home to the air conditioning or to the heating or the electrical or the plumbing, you know, that stuff that Peden does all of that. They do it well. Professionals show up, you know, help you understand what's the right product, what's the right solution. And again, all along the Gulf Coast, they do all of these kinds of things. For 55 years, they've been doing this stuff. So, you know, whether you're in Panama City or you're all the way in Tallahassee or you're in Santa Rosa or Escambia County, Pensacola, of course, a big facility right there in Ellison Field. Or, you know, in the last couple of years, they've expanded west past the state line. So they're into Baldwin County, even into Mobile. Peden, they will take care of you with all of that stuff. And, you know, they typically run these different specials each month. And this month is kind of an anticipating the heat that's not yet here. I think we know the heat's not here yet. you know, 44 this morning. Anyway, but for the month of March, they have a March Madness special because, you know, the tournament's coming. $1,000 off those mini split air conditioning units. So if you want to cool down a garage or a sunroom or your workshop for this summer, and you're kind of curious about that, $1,000 off the mini-split ACs, and that's something that Peden has available for you. Find out more, schedule an appointment at Peden, PEADEN.com. Back to the conversation about OLF 8. So where I think they ought to go, and I thought they ought to go, in fact, I thought they had gone, was we've got these two interested entities. Let's give them both feedback. And then, you know, Steve Strohberger is asking, well, can we have some kind of a side-by-side so we can really compare, you know, the pluses and minuses of each of these offers? And let's just, you know, let's go from there. And Stephen Barry, I know, there's two Steves and two Burgers. It's the Steves and Burgers Commission. Just Burgers and Steves. I think that's what I'm going to go with. Hoffberger and Strohberger and Steven. If you can't keep up, well, you know, it's not your fault. It's the voters' fault. Wait, that's you. Sorry. Anyway, so back to the conversation. Stephen Barry, it's kind of interesting. He's been making this argument that it doesn't matter what pie-in-the-sky number is on the price tag. It's a question of whether we actually get development, whether we actually get money. And a lot of these contracts, the way they're written, don't obligate action, don't obligate money. And so we don't want to put ourselves in the position of agreeing to a deal and then not being able to compel action and not getting any action. So the field sits there another 5 years and nothing's happened. And then people like Andrew McKay keep saying, why can't we get rid of the chain link fence? Anyway, so Stephen Barry, I think, is very kind of acutely worried about the perception of the board and of him.
And that's that was what I was mentioning, you know, either last minute or a couple of minutes ago or whatever, about just the fear of entering into a contract that has such bad terms that we end up, the butt of the jokes, as far as, 3 years from now, nothing's happened and we can't force our counterparty to close. That's not ideal.
So he says, let's have the red lines. Let's do them both. That's fine. Ashley Hoffberger says, I thought that's what we already agreed to last time.
I'd like to have some clarification around that, because the last motion we made was for Allison and West to negotiate with all offers that came in. All of us voted on that. That's what was put out to the public. And then we stopped at the red line version at the request of one commissioner, which I understand. But again, that was just one. That's not what we voted on. So what exactly are we authorizing them to do, and how far can they take that? Can they get it right up until it's ready to sign, or are they supposed to take a step back at some point?
I'm good.
April 3rd, man. I think that's our first meeting in April.
That's Lumen May and Mike Kohler saying, yeah, bring it back to us as ready to go as possible, and let's make a decision on April. And again, Stephen Barry, who seems to be frustrated by this continually being on the agenda. I like it. I like Mike Kohler has been serious about, we're going to talk about this at virtually every meeting because this needs to get done. You know, we keep putting it in the spotlight, and I think Stephen Barry's view is, why do we have to keep showing people how much we're not getting done?
If we're going to send red lines back to these two folks, great. And then we'll see what we get back from them. And, you know, Wes and Allison interact with each of us, I presume, on a regular basis. And, you know, hopefully there's something that comes from those discussions that's worth bringing back to the board. I wouldn't put it on there as a standing item. I mean, we don't have to discuss failures regularly. If it just fails, it fails.
No, if it's an ongoing failure, discuss it. Make that be in the... See, this is what I like. I like the... And it's kind of a difference of a view of government. You know, Stephen Barry wants to do things kind of behind the scenes. Other people feel that it makes more sense to do things in front of the view, you know, on the stage in front of everybody. I take that view. Look, do it in public. Kind of reminds me of the discussion about the EMS bad debt write-off. You know, he wanted to avoid having that conversation in the public, and I think it's good to have it in the public. Yes, people misunderstand it. They think it's a real loss as opposed to a loss of possible. But, you know, it's okay not to hide that. It's okay to have that conversation. Enlighten the public. Don't just hide it from them. And if we need to every meeting have a conversation about OLF-8 and where we are, I mean, do it, because the continued attention is the only way it's going to likely get done, in my opinion.
I want to remind everybody that we'd be way past this right now if we'd had honored what we'd said in the morning a couple of meetings ago, where we were going to give them until March 25th, and we never got there.
That was the meeting after which, you know, things all went sideways and Beulah Town Center rescinded their offer, and then Tri-W came back in. Ryan Bell, his investment partners abandoned him, is what it sounds like happened. So he's not in this conversation anymore, at least not at the moment. You never know what's going to happen. Anyway, so he's right. We were ready to go down the road with Beulah Town Center, and then, you know, I don't know, somebody tripped and fell on their face, basically. I don't know who to blame exactly.
So we weren't fair to them. And we're not being fair to Tri-West either.
That's true.
This would be fair. Let's match them up. We'll redline them both. And this should be the last time we have to do this.
Oh, I would love to believe that's true. And it could be. And I hope that turns out to be true. Mike Kohler?
Are you going to sit in on these meetings with the administration, or does Steve Commissioner Barry, do you want to do any of that? Or I don't know. I don't have an interest, but you two, I think. I know
I don't know that it's necessary. I mean,
it is.
I don't know that it's necessary to have a commissioner. I mean, Allison has, I think Allison and Wes have relationships.
I like
with the
idea.
For both
I do personally, because I like to have someone up there that's watching what's going on. I like quality control, man. I love it.
Well, yeah, and remember, this has been kind of this weird situation where, because it's sort of adjoining Stephen Barry's district too, and Mike Kohler's been a little bit more deferential to him and saying, well, you've got experience because you've been working on this for a long time. You've been in office for 12 years. Steve Schroberger's brand new in office, but he was elected on this. Let's get somebody in these meetings, you know, so that there's at least a commissioner observing and can, you know, pipe in once in a while. So, yeah, quality control, checking the work, just having that elected official in there, making sure that everything is going well. I agree with that. So in the end, they said, yeah, let's redline them both. That's the edits. Okay, let's send it back to them. Let's work with both and see where we go and bring it back to the March meeting. And listen, though my tone may not sound much like it, and sometimes I apologize for tone not conveying the end truth, I think this is a good step. Charlie Brown and the football, okay? Charlie Brown and the Invisible Flying Polka-Dotted Unicorn of economic development. I actually feel like we're almost there. I feel like they took a step. It's the right step. It's the reasonable step. And I think that in, you know, a couple of weeks, we might actually, oh, how many fingers can I cross? We might actually get there. And we'll see. But I am super cautiously super optimistic, both. 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got an accident that happened on Highway 29 between Quintet Road and 95A that's blocking both lanes right now. So just be aware of that. That's mainly the southbound, but seeing delays in both directions. Also, 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're seeing some major delays through the Windhaven Beach area. So just be aware of that. That's about 15 to 20 minute delay. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Jesus loves the unlovable. He loves sinners, and sinners come in all shapes and sizes. In John 3, Jesus shows love to a religious sinner named Nicodemus. Yet in John 4, he shows love to an adulterous sinner known as the Samaritan woman. Nicodemus needed to be born again even though he was religious, just as the sinful Samaritan woman who had been married 5 times and was living with a man who wasn't her husband, she also needed to be born again. The fact is, we're all sinners. When the Samaritan woman realized who Jesus was, she believed on him savingly and then told people all over town how Jesus saved her soul from the consequences of her sin. I urge you, trust Christ today to deal with your sin problem. You'll be eternally glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Businesses come in all shapes and sizes. Integrity doesn't. For more than a century, the Better Business Bureau has set the standards for how businesses should operate honestly and ethically. So when you're looking for a business you can trust, check to see who's BBB accredited and who isn't. Always choose the Better Business. Look for the BBB seal because it's looking out for you. That's why it's the sign of a better business. And find a better business anytime at BBB.org.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Newfan, Cap'n Robbins, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
There's a new pet.
Tia.
Chia Pet, the pottery that grows.
I talked to the CEO after they secured it a little after 1 p.m. today. They could not be more grateful for the response. Years ago, the base had their own hospital. They had a more robust police department. They had ambulances. They don't have any of that anymore. So they are dependent on county support if something like this happens. And we respond, and we respond quickly. And we respond in a way that helps our fellow veterans and active duty members out there, and they're very grateful.
This is Mike Kohler, Escambia County Commission Chairman, District 2. That includes the base. He was talking, of course, about that. I guess you call it a false alarm, but, you know, the report of an active shooter on the base the other day, and that turned out not to be anything. And he just said, look, I appreciate our staff. I appreciate all the county responding to that, the sheriff's office and everybody else, PPD, and the base staff. And the quick response is amazing. Yeah, and it's a great way to show on the base how much we care about them. And, of course, everybody remembers what it was like at the prior attack, what, 5.5 years ago now. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yes. Good morning, gentlemen. The Trump administration wants to shorten the enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act. The current enrollment period lasts from November 1st to January 15th. The proposal from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services recommends the cutoff date at December 15th. And apparently, consumer debt has now hit $5 trillion as of January.
Woo-hoo! We're the tops! Wait, that's not a celebration.
They do say it's up from the month before, but it's still down compared to a year ago.
So, wait, but consumer debt is good or bad?
Well, doesn't sound good to me.
Bad for the debt holder. Good for the people who service the debt and sell the products, I suppose.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Ukraine's military hits Moscow with a drone attack, killing at least three people ahead of today's U.S.-led talks in Saudi Arabia aimed at ending war with Russia.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says his country will propose a truce in the sea and the sky, including an end to missile and drone attacks. And while the Trump administration has made clear they expect Ukraine to make concessions to end the war, it's not known what they'll ask Russia to give up in return.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The Senate confirms Lori Chavez de Remer as Labor Secretary with 17 yes votes from Democrats and 3 no's from Republicans.
Several labor unions, including the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, endorsed the former Oregon Congresswoman's nomination. During her confirmation hearing, she was grilled by GOP senators over her decision to support measures that would make it easier for workers to unionize.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 47 degrees right now. We've got sunshine this morning in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. A Pensacola woman warning others after being the victim of a targeted theft recently. This happened last week after cashing a check at a local bank. She drove to her next destination, went inside a store, and then her car was broken into. The cash was stolen.
It was so odd because they had been rather hidden. And, you know, I wasn't gone 10 minutes.
She talked to Channel 3. The woman wanted to stay anonymous. PPD's Mike Wood says she was likely the victim of a targeted theft. He says that's where thieves could be inside of a bank and watching for somebody to leave with a large amount of cash. Then they follow you and try to take it. Police say people should remain hypervigilant. Call 911 if they believe somebody is following them. A new 11-story hotel is being proposed for Pensacola Beach. According to the News Journal, this would include 215 rooms on a 4.3-acre site between the Beach Club Resort and Spa and the Emerald Isle Condominium. Developers are planning to add parking, a pool deck with a spa, and even a lazy river, and beach access with dune walkovers. The project is being led by Omega Hospitality. The brand of the hotel has not been announced. The project hasn't been scheduled yet for a review by Escambia County's Development Review Committee. Well, bad news for folks that need to haul a load to the dump. Escambia County is reporting issues with the outbound scale at the Perdido landfill. This apparently has been causing some delays for customers trying to get in and out of the facility. The county says drivers may encounter longer wait times, especially during the peak hours, and those who need to weigh out will have to make a U-turn back into the inbound lane and go over that scale before exiting. Scale attendants are on hand to assist with traffic flow. The county says they are working on repairs. Further updates will be provided once the scale is operational again. Pensacola Beach officials gearing up to introduce some new trolleys just in time for this year's tourist season. The new bright and modern trolleys are going to replace the older models, which just hit the end of their lifespan last year. The trolleys are set to start their service on May 23rd. They'll run through September 1st. The county already has 2 of the new trolleys. A third one's expected to arrive by June or early July. The trolley system will maintain its existing routes and hours, offering free transportation to visitors at the beach. Well, AMR's received additional funding from the Escambia commissioners.
Escambia County gave the green light to AMR Pensacola for funding to buy the former Henry T. McMillan School. The plans are to provide 53 affordable housing units for low to very low income people ages 50 to 60. Escambia commissioners agreed to award AMR $2,536,000 for the school.
And that is News Radio's Chris Bryan there. Well, the Leonard Hamilton era might come to an end later today. Florida State University's men's basketball team takes on Syracuse in the ACC tournament in Charlotte at 7 o'clock Eastern tonight. Hamilton retiring at the end of the season. That could be tonight if the Seminoles lose. Yesterday, FSU introduced Hamilton's successor, Luke Laux. He says that he will be relentless in putting together the most competitive group of kids in college basketball. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that accident on Highway 29 and Neal. That's between Quintet and Highway 95A. Seeing some delays again, 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge to the Windhaven Beach area. That's about a 10 to 15 minute delay. And also I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay associated with that. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up into the 70s for your afternoon high. Plenty of sunshine overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 50s. For Wednesday, nice sunny skies, high near 72. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. Rain chances build in on Thursday with a 50% chance of rain and a high near 71 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 48 and sunny right now in Pensacola, 49 in Gulf Breeze, 43 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Doge chief Elon Musk said that he is running his businesses with great difficulty as shares of Tesla suffered their worst drop in half a decade. Musk also said during an interview on Fox Business that he expects to remain in the Trump administration for another year. German auto giant Volkswagen has reported a 15% year-over-year drop in annual operating profit, citing increasing costs and extraordinary expenses associated with this restructuring strategy. The automaker said it expects sales revenue to exceed the previous year's figure by up to 5% in 2025. It also forecasts that its operating margin will hit between 5.5% and 6.5% this year. Oracle's fiscal third quarter results missed analyst expectations. The company said revenue in its cloud infrastructure unit increased 49% from a year earlier to $2.7 billion. Futures are slightly higher amid recession fears. Monday, the Dow Industrials dropped 890. That's your money now.
The Studer Community Institute, with many others, is dedicated to creating America's first early learning city right here in Pensacola. To do that, Rishi and I built the United States' first early learning sensory garden, right at the corner of Baylin Street and Main Street. Yep, right by the brew-through. Bring your child. Not only will they have fun, but they'll also learn a lot. And while you're there, you can have a coffee or a smoothie or a bite to eat. So please, bring your child down to the brew-through to the early learning sensory garden. Thank you.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
June 15th is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Every year, millions of older adults suffer from abuse, neglect, or exploitation, often in silence. If you suspect elder abuse, report it. One call can make a difference. Contact your local area agency on aging at 1-800-963-5337 or visit elderaffairs.org. Let's protect our elders. See something, say something.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. I appreciate y'all listening. I really do. You know, whenever I meet just people out talking and they listen to the show. I'm always a little bit surprised by it, like in a pleasant way, like, oh, that's really great. I appreciate that. And it just is, it's a really nice, I don't say it very often, but, you know, for this Yankee who moved to the South and all of a sudden people in the South are, you know, love the show. I'm like, just, I appreciate y'all feeding my family. Sheriff Chip Simmons is, you know, moderately approved.
We're inclusive.
That's yeah, why. That's right. That's right. We're a cosmopolitan community. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Let's just briefly start with the incident at Core Station last week. Of course, massive response, you know, turned out to be nothing. But, I mean, you know, you get shots fired, reported on a military facility, you go. Or anywhere, right?
Or anywhere, right. You know, ever since Columbine and Parkland, I mean, we trained to go to the threat. And to go to the threat, you got to get to the threat, right? You have to get as much information as you possibly can, make it to the threat, and then eliminate the threat. So we're pushing. We were actually at the building, and I could hear people saying, push, 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 push. There's this mentality that you got to push. Now, you can't push, you know, when other officers are coming right at you, you got to kind of, you know, be tactical about that. But the response was terrific. Obviously, being our jurisdiction, we had the most people there.
How many officers? How many deputies?
We probably had about 100 deputies.
Wow.
That were there. And then PPD eventually got there.
Uh-huh.
FHP eventually got there. And some other people got there. Again, they're distanced. They have to go a greater distance because it's not
And Navy
area.
Security came over from NAS Pensacola?
Navy Security was there from the beginning.
Oh,
now,
all right.
Now, I don't know where they came from. I'm assuming they have some right there at Corey.
Sure.
I know when I got there, and it was relatively quick, there were already a handful of Navy police officers that,
okay,
that were there. And participating in a room clearing. We had, and that's part of the complication is that, you know, we don't have their radio channel. They don't have our radio channel. We don't have the keys. They have the keys. Who has the keys? Who, you know, but that happens in every one of these events. You just have to use common sense and say, okay, where is the noise supposed to be coming from? In this case, we did have, because there's nothing to it, I can talk a little bit more about it than I normally would.
Yeah.
We had information that there was an individual hold up in one of the rooms on the second floor. And so we can't all rush to that room. Some people have to cover, you know, other areas. We're still looking for potential victims and that sort of thing. So we ended up getting to that room, and then we had to tear that door down because we did not have time to wait for a key to come from the key depot, wherever they got the keys.
Yeah, wherever the administrative repository
is. So we ended up getting those buildings cleared, and then we went a complete check of it one time, and then we checked one more time, you know, just to make sure. Mm-hmm. What
I think you and I actually chatted in between, or while
they
were in the second
first
suite.
And the second
right.
one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, after the first one, I feel it's important to let people know that everyone's okay, and that at this point, I'm very careful with my words. At this point, we find no evidence of an active shooter, no evidence of anyone being injured. So we're still trying to figure out how this happened and what happened. And from what I understand, there were up to a dozen military personnel that heard what they thought were three shots.
Okay.
When you have this many people calling, a couple of 911 calls, you're going to go there, and you're going to go there as fast as you can, because, again, that's how lives are saved. That's how they were saved at NES. That's how they would be saved, you know, should the worst have taken place over at Corey Station. That's how lives are saved at schools, at malls, right. anywhere.
Because in these emergency situations, whether it's a fire or, you know, building collapse or an active shooter or whatever the thing is, seconds can make a difference, and certainly minutes make a difference. And, you know, waiting to confirm is not the protocol. We'd rather send 100 officers and a half dozen paramedics and then find out it's nothing than not send them and it turns out to be something.
Yeah, and I do need to say that fire, EMS, they were there. They're setting up a command post, which is exactly what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if there are bodies inside of an injured individual, mm-hmm, we know right where the ambulance goes. We send them right over there.
And you do those trainings all the time. I mean, yes. Not all, but like you do them routinely. Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we have kind of real life scenarios that we continue to work on. Now, mm-hmm, we'll critique this one because nothing goes perfectly. But I again, a special shout out to EMS, to fire, Escambia County EMS, Escambia County Fire. And again, we appreciate Pensacola Police coming. It's not their jurisdiction, but obviously we have this relationship to where,
right,
if something happens in Escambia County and we need them, they're going to come. If something happens in Pensacola, we were going to come and help them as well. So it was in Highway Patrol as well. They showed up.
Had it been not on the base, had it been, you know, several different 911 calls to some building, mm-hmm, you know, some building downtown or whatever, same response?
Yeah, no, I think same response.
Because I know for a lot of people, it was like, it was obviously Enes Pensacola is vividly in our minds, but it's not that you're extra going to it because it's a military facility. You're just going to it because it's a credible shots fired active shooter threat, right?
Yeah, I think that any shots fired threat is going to get a tremendous response. When you're talking about a potential active shooter, and again, I'd be lying if I said that didn't play into it, what happened in 2019. Mm-hmm. We all know that, what happened. And we're like, oh, no, is this something else too? Because that was a serious a terrorist act. I mean, yeah. He died with over 300 rounds on him. So, you know, our guys were able to take him out way before he did as much damage as he wanted to do. So there are opportunities. If it's at the mall, then you send as many people as you can because the mall's so big. You don't want someone to get away, and there could be so many potential victims. So the response is similar in that we're all trying to get there. If you're close, you're going. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. If it's a small convenience store, then obviously there's no need to have 100 deputies there.
Right.
Okay. Hopefully the first 5 or 10 that could arrive can take care of business.
We're talking to Chip Simmons. It's Camby County Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound traveling between Highway 29 and Pine Forest through Highway 29, expect about a 7 to 10 minute delay just due to construction and congestion. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So just, I, it's probably going to sound like it's a criticism, and it's really not. I just was curious how that choice of what response to send, only because I actually called in a shots fired in my neighborhood on Friday night. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I was kind of napping on my couch and bang, 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 bang. Bang. I'm like, oh, that's not fireworks. And I called it in because I never assume anybody else is going to call it in. And a lot of people talk themselves out of it, right? They say, well, somebody else will do it, or they're not sure or whatever.
Or I'll wait to hear a name of a siren or something.
Right, which is long past. But I was looking on the map, and I didn't see a dispatch unit or anything like that. But you always send somebody if there's a report of shots fired.
If there's reports of shots fired, someone is always dispatched to that area.
Okay.
Sometimes they'll do a check because you may not have been the only person called.
Sure.
Someone else may have called and says, it may have been fireworks, it may not be fireworks. A third person may have called and said, no, it looks like it's gone now, there's nothing there.
Okay.
So, but we still do a drive-by at least. If anyone's hit, then we're going to go there no matter what.
Right.
But I can take a look at that one and see what the scenario was and see if they...
And I told dispatch I didn't need to talk to anybody. Okay. I just wanted to let them know. And, if it's a serious thing, we're waiting. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah, well, we usually don't wait for the shots fired calls. Those are pretty high on our priority. Unless someone says, we're not sure if we heard shots fired.
Right.
It could be fireworks. And obviously, we're going to... And then we wait and see who else calls, because as we're en route, we'll determine it, because things develop.
Sure.
A lot of times we'll get a call to a scene of an armed disturbance, and then our dispatcher will say, I'm getting three more calls. That typically lets us know that this is something bigger, and so we'll have more backup.
And as you said, at Corey, it was multiple, and, that was an important part of the information set. We had a traffic stop on 29 that led to the arrest of two individuals on several different drug-related charges last week.
Yeah, we got a couple winners here. William Coleman and John Peters, I guess. We have a good picture of all the drugs. Our narcotics guys that seized this drugs, put it on a piece of paper, separated it, and so the people know exactly what's going on. And they did that because of the different amounts of drugs and different types of drugs. They located trafficking amounts, which, as you know, is the higher amount of fentanyl, trafficking amount of heroin, a trafficking amount of methamphetamine, some cocaine, some Xanax, some marijuana, some oxycodone, and some paraphernalia. So this is a lot of drugs, as you can see. I just you're really up to no good. You're driving around on 29 with all of this different types of,
This is a pharmacy. I'm looking at the picture on your social media page. And when you say piece of paper, it's a... Like
cardboard,
a poster board.
Yeah.
It's a display case for a science fair project or
exactly.
something, which is kind of what this looks like.
It does look on display. We
eight
we put
pipes,
it up there.
Three knives, all kinds of different, and then it's kind of funny because, it says, here's crack cocaine, here's fentanyl, here's even more fentanyl, here's heroin, here's Xanax, here's more cocaine. Your folks had some fun
to know
with it.
What they're doing. Like you said, it looks like a science project of a loser. you know, just show, on this project, show us what a loser looks like. And then they post this little thing on a poster board.
If somebody had a drug tackle box, this is it laid out on a table.
You open that thing up, yeah.
That's what it looks
but,
like.
I mean, well, we do joke a bit, but how many lives could be lost from these two clowns doing this amount of drugs? Because trafficking amount of fentanyl can kill many people. And then you mix it with heroin and methamphetamine. I'm obviously proud of the deputies' work that's mm-hmm. out there, which is we haven't posted as many of these because as I talk to my narcotics guys, they say, "Hey, people are kind of running a little bit short of courage with the cars too, getting out there because we're always on them. We have a couple cameras up on 29, and I smile every time I hear that you know that we're being effective with regards to proactive and reactive type stuff. And I told them people like this. You stop that car and you arrest them. If you have to bump them, you have to bump them.
Mm-hmm. My wife and I were in the car the other day, and we drove past one of your camera vans that mm-hmm. says Escambia County Sheriff's Surveillance Vehicle. And she's like, "What good is that?" And I said, "Deterrence." And she said, "Oh, no, I get it now. Yeah, that makes sense."
Yeah, we put it in red.
Yeah,
it's funny.
It's not hiding.
Those who aren't familiar, we have this van. We call it like the... I don't know, drug eradication.
You need a name. I mean, you got the Rook. Yeah. You need a name for the van.
Yeah, we had a name. And we put it in red letters. We have like 18 cameras around it.
Discouragement
one. And we just park it in right away, which we're legally able to park it. And people complain and said, "You guys, they know what it is." No kidding. No kidding. There's cameras all over it. It can even talk to them, you know, and say, "Get away from my car" or something like that.
I love it.
But, yeah, we do that, obviously, for a deterrence. And when we have... we don't have manpower that can sit there on 24 hours a day.
I did want to ask you, just because this has been on social media, and, you know, sometimes on social media, they do not get 100% of the facts accurate. There was a complaint had to do with over there on Murphy Lane by the Washburn Center, where there I know there have been a lot of homeless folks. The complaint was that you guys were involved or code enforcement was involved in moving somebody, and as a result, they died. Do you want to maybe
that's the
allegation. So I know you like to respond to rumors.
Typically, well, I'll just kind of let, you know, now you can't please everyone. You know, you're doing what you can do. In this particular case, the county code enforcement and sheriff's office and code enforcement works very well. But code enforcement was going to clean this area, this county area, across from the Washburn Center. So they asked us to help move the people just so they can clean it up and then they can go back. So we got there and they say, "Hey, this is county property. They're going to clean this thing up. Can you move?" They packed up. They moved. And then the county code enforcement and the sheriff's office left. 3 days later, unfortunately, an individual mm-hmm. does pass away. But consider this. All we did was move them so it can be cleaned up. They're not even supposed to be there, right? So we moved them so it can be cleaned up, and they return back there. 3 days later, the individual, again, tragically passes away, and somehow that's code enforcement's fault. Somehow that's the sheriff's office's fault. And keep in mind, they're right across the street from a facility that is assisting the homeless. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming they already had their gates locked, which not sure why they locked their gates if you're going to help somebody. When you lock your gates, you cause people to camp outside your area. That's just
what happens. And that has been a recurrent, persistent problem on Murphy Lane for quite some time now, yeah.
Yeah, again, I don't want to cast too much shade on people that want to help the homeless.
Right.
But I can tell you that the sheriff's office has given more assistance and has given more information as to where to go to get services. And as the county has brought services to these individuals, and sometimes you just can't, they won't accept services. Secondly, a lot of these people have family members in town. And if the family members in town can't help them, can't provide whatever they need mm-hmm. or won't provide whatever they need, what do they expect sheriff's office employees to do? What do you expect code enforcement to do? What do you expect, quite honestly, the Board of County Commissioners to do? Mm-hmm. This is certainly a problem that I think the county needs to address and to tackle, and they're taking steps to do so. On the back of every one of our citations is a list of the resources that are available. We obviously
Oh, I didn't know
heart.
That. That yeah. I mean,
well,
makes
we,
sense.
We
it's,
recreate
it's
our ticket just so they can, I can put those – or we can put the information on the back of a ticket. So if you're not supposed to be there, we'll write you a warning ticket. Oh, look on the back of that. If you don't want to be here, if you don't want to get a ticket, if you don't want this to be your life, these are resources in our community that you can go to. And so we're trying to do what we can. But for people to come up there and say, "Oh, you guys should have done this and that," I suggest they look internally first.
No, that's I didn't know you guys are doing that, so I appreciate you letting us know. Last thing, we've only got about 30 seconds, but Blazer Academy graduation tonight. How many youth have
this
you guys helped?
This is the sixth class, and about 20 males will graduate, and we start the female Blazer Academy in about 2 or 3 weeks.
That's the third one for the females?
Third one for the females.
So that's your getting 150, 200 people so far through the program?
Yeah, it's pretty good. In fact, we're about to announce an alumni class for the male side because we have so many more.
Okay.
And say, hey, why don't you come back and just for about half the time, three weeks, let's, where are you at? Where have you come from the first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what would you have liked to have seen? And then let's transition from a 13, 14, 15-year-old mentorship program to a 17, 18, maybe even 19-year-old. Do you have a job?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what kind of car do you have? Do you have any questions now that you didn't have? Or your question is different? Or is your philosophy different? Let's talk about that, and let's try to help.
I love it. I mean, follow-up, data, mm-hmm. fix, you know, improving exactly. the system, you know, not just doing it so we can say we did it, but doing it to have the result we want to have. I mean, I love all that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, sir, always a pleasure. Thank you for the time. Always talking with even about things that are, you know, maybe challenges or perceptions you guys haven't done something wrong. And sometimes you do wrong.
There was a time.
When it happens, you fix it, work, make it better, and move on, right?
I may be the one of the few politicians that have actually called a press conference and said, hey, we could have done this better.
Yeah.
I don't recall of any others. And maybe they haven't done anything wrong, but I can tell you that we have an impossible job. And we work at night. We work with drug addicts. We work with bad guys, with guns. And if you consider all that, we do a fantastic job.
Sheriff Simmons, thank you so much for the time, sir.
You bet.
John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. We're seeing, if you're on I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, you're going to see about a 7 to 10 minute delay, just congestion and the construction zone. Also, 98 eastbound right around the Windhaven Beach area is experiencing about a 10 to 15 minute delay. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Piggins with your traffic on the fives.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Gun Show this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
7:59 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, U.S. and Ukrainian officials are beginning peace talks today in Saudi Arabia. President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, says representatives from both countries will be on hand. They're going to work to create a framework for an initial ceasefire in the war with Russia.
Very good. I appreciate that. We look forward to the information coming up next. Around.